Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we need him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
There's something that made you come back again. And what could ever lead you?
What could ever lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where we need you.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back, indeed. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We are here at Blog Talk Radio, and we do it live, all things being equal, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Oh, wait a minute, there's been a change, schedule change. We do it live, all things being equal now, Mondays and Thursdays. Moved the Tuesday night show, the two-hour program, to Monday nights. And I got my reasons, okay? Anyway, yeah, it's just to accommodate some things in my schedule and get some stuff rearranged. And so Mondays, not Tuesdays, Mondays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursday show staying the same, 7 p.m. Eastern right here. We said Guapo was going to be doing a show tonight. That is incorrect due to the damage in hurricane-ravaged Florida. He's not going to be doing that. He is, however, planning on calling in during the second half of the show. So we'll still get a report from Mark on how bad things were in his area of the Sunshine State as well as throughout the rest of Florida. For those of you who came in late, I've been on hiatus for a little while. See, here's what happened. My mom got sick. My mother got sick right there at the end of June, first part of July, and initially we thought it was something that, although it was serious, wasn't fundamentally critical or life-threatening. But you know what? When you're 88 years old, it doesn't take too many health issues or much of a health issue at all to turn into a crisis, and it can happen pretty quick, as we saw in my mom's case. It just seemed as if there were a cascade of things that happened just about from the time we took her to the hospital, and she was there for 2.5 months, and Well, she was away for 2.5 months. Let's put it that way. And she tried her damnedest, and she had a great deal of help from terrific nursing staff, from some really competent doctors, some good emergency room and ICU people. But she ran out of gas, and she did not survive. And she left us Saturday morning, September 3rd, around 10:30. She'd been in hospice for about 12 hours at the time that she died. And I would imagine that those 12 hours were probably the most peaceful and comfortable 12 hours she had had since undergoing all this. And understandably, and the thing is, my mother and I lived together. I was like, I'm not going to say her primary caregiver, but I was the go-to guy. And if she needed prescriptions filled, I was the dude. If she needed to get to the doctor, I got her there, took care of the house, took care of her, kept her out of the nursing home. She didn't want to go. We didn't want her to go. So she didn't, despite that brief time she was in rehab there before she passed. So I just been taking some time off, man, thinking about things, and here we are. And in the meantime, you know, while I was gone, apparently all hell broke loose. The craziness and the fruit loopiness just went into full bloom. They say, there are some schools of thought, and I agree with them, to ridicule and to vilify and excoriate and whatever you want to say, pillory, somebody who is in cognitive decline, is considered to be bad form, we shouldn't do it, it's unfair to pick on the infirm, and to an extent, I would agree with that. I would. However, I don't agree with it in this case. Look, the guy's a villain. He's a creeper. I think that he kind of messes around with kids. He's nasty. He's a liar. He's dishonest. You know, is he cognitively impaired? Absolutely. But he's also a son of a bitch, okay? He's also a creep. He's a pederast. He's a grifter, a con man. He's on the take. He's corrupt. And yeah, he's cognitively in decline. They had a big presser the other day. Every time there's a spectacular failure or things that are bad, throw it into overdrive and get worse, there's usually a presser at the White House celebrating the opposite. And basically what happens is they roll out, whatever stooges they need necessary for whatever program or photo op they're concocting. And the last time they were celebrating, oh my God, they were celebrating a decline in inflation as the news was coming out from the Fed that inflation had increased and was getting worse. And it's worse now than it was then. So it was one of these pressers for food underprivileged, underfed people, hungry. Anyway, he's given a shout out to all the people, Joe Biden has given a shout out to all the people who are responsible for helping this socially impactive, oh so important legislation come to fruition. And he's talking, the woman that he's referring to, Jackie Walorski, tragically was killed in an automobile accident sometime early in August. That's all the backstory I'm gonna give you. Here's the bite.
So many of you know so much about this as well, and you're committed, and I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going
to
be here.
Event today, the president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room.
Well, the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the Congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president. He looks forward to discussing her remarkable legacy of public service with them when he sees her family this coming Friday.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos,
Georgie,
show highlights,
really,
and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
Knock it off. Asshat. I meant to clip that out, and I didn't, and my apologies. Here's a little bit more of Caroline Saint-Pierre. No, not Saint-Pierre, Jean-Pierre, Karine Jean-Pierre, doing whatever she does when they called her out about this. Again, why is the president asking for this dead person to, you know, anyway. And it goes on a little bit more, but I'm just setting it up to prove a point.
I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative
All right,
Governor,
here's the setup.
Senator
He's
going to
talk.
Senator
for...
Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was.
Jacqueline, the friendly ghost.
To help make this a reality. And thanks to Senator Stabenow.
Top of mind. Remember now, bear in mind, she is top of mind
today, the
with the president.
Look around the room. For an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month, he seemed to indicate she might be in the room.
So the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching.
The president was talking out of his head like always. And, you know, once he gets going, y'all know how fruit loopy he can be.
He was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the Congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday.
Right.
Of course, she was on his mind. She was of
top of mind.
For the president. He looks forward to discussing her remarkable legacy of public
top
service
of mind.
With them when he sees her family this coming Friday.
He said, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind.
She couldn't be there because she was in the top of Joe's mind. That's why she couldn't be there. I just told you guys.
The president was able to lift up in this at this conference, at this event, was how her focus on wanting to.
Oh my God! Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Just for the love of God, Gaïn, sacré bleu. Top of mind. All right, top of mind. He asked for her because he was thinking about her. She was top of mind. He was zeroed in like a laser beam, according to the president's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, on Jackie Walorski. He ain't thinking about nothing but, man. And he ain't got time for nothing else. Can't stop thinking about his Jackie, and he ain't got time for nothing else. Well, if he was so focused, and I waited, and she was hit with this question by a couple of different reporters, a couple of different times, and the rest of the song and dance was what was that, you know, going on in the clip. And if he was so zeroed in, if he was thinking about nothing but his Jackie Walorski, and ain't got time for nothing else, how did he miss out on the fact that she's been dead for 2 months? Maybe he thought if he focused on her and she stayed top of mind enough, he could resurrect her. I don't know, man. But then again, you know, she might have been there for all we know. Joe was shaking hands with an invisible man at one presser here a few months back. You guys have seen that. Yeah, it was Claude Rains was there. He was giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award to Claude Rains for his performance as the Invisible Man. Anyway, and so, you know, who knows? But to those of us who have some, you know, modicum of intellectual honesty, it doesn't matter Republican or Democrat. This guy, conniving, scheming, cunning, ambitious as Lucifer, and as cold as a lizard, is off his hook, man. I mean, nobody wants to say it, and everybody that does say it is immediately poo-pooed and shuffled out of the room, you know, because we're supposed to think that this guy is the greatest political mind since Benjamin Disraeli. And he probably doesn't even know what damn day it is. Which leads us to me hitting the mute button because I have got to cough. I'll be right back. And we're back. Well, I'm going to take a drink, see if I can do this again. When Donald Trump was president, especially in those last couple of years, they had tried everything. And if you'll remember, in the first couple of years of the administration, it was success upon success upon success. And even in the last 2 years with COVID and the Democrats or the extreme left wing that has infested the Democrat Party, there were still successes and they had just gone all out, scorched earth, total war on Donald Trump. And they were saying he was crazy. They're saying he was nuts. He was a loose cannon. He's gone rogue. He's a Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now. He's out there, man, operating without any kind of restraint. And we're gonna have to terminate the president's command. And that's what they tried to do. They tried to end the presidency by any way that they thought they could. They failed. And they were able to, you know, swage their wounds with the 2020 election. But in that time, and they're thinking he's nuts, he's this, he's that, they were cracking up the 25th Amendment. We had to use the 25th Amendment. Was it time to use the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump from office because they thought it was a whirligig or whatever? And look at all this crap. Look at all this crap that we have seen out of Joe Biden. Okay? Shaking hands with the invisible man. Talking to dead people, which may tell us how close he really is, if he can do that. But the guy that says shit like this.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by gold, you know the thing.
The Me Too movement has forced a cultural reckoning around the issue of sexual violence and harassment against women in America.
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it.
Very poor choice of words.
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids, wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
And why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
Iowa's a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
I guess your work's great, Jack. Look, here's the deal. I'm not voting for you. Well, I knew you weren't, man. You think I thought you'd stand up and vote for you? You're too old to vote for me. I'm not sedentary. I get up and let him go. Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on, let's do push-ups together here, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take another T-shirt.
But the T-shirt knows a lot about it. His mom lived in Long Island for 10 years or so. God rest her soul. And your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul. I got to get this straight.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night. Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. And back in those days, you see how things have changed. One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. So I walked out with the chain. And I walked up to my car. And they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razor. You'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in the rain barrel, get them rusty. And it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
I mean, whatever happened to the old conservative discipline about paying for what you spend? I'm up for re-election this year, and I'm going to remind everybody what I did at home, which is going to cost me politically. When I argued that we should freeze federal spending, I meant Social Security as well. I meant Medicare and Medicaid. I meant veterans benefits. I meant every single solitary thing in the government. And I not only tried it once, I tried it twice, I tried it a third time, and I tried it a fourth time.
And thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper, and thank you, Chancellor.
We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
Paul Ryan was correct. When he did the tax code, what's the first thing he decided we had to go after?
Social Security and Medicare.
Now, we need to do something about Social Security and Medicare. That's the only way you can find room to pay for it.
We've acted together. We have never, never, never been unable to overcome whatever the problem was. If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight. Thank you very much.
The case, we cannot let this, we've never allowed any crisis from the Civil War straight through to the pandemic of 17, all the way around 16. We have never, never let our democracy second fiddle, way that we can both have a democracy and elections and at the same time correct the public health.
Okay. See what I mean? Now, I have in my collection probably another 45 minutes of Joe Biden saying things just as equally stupid as what you heard. Now, to recap, he called for the late Representative Jackie Walorski to appear during a live event about hunger and nutrition. She was killed in a car accident last month. He's already talked to her family to offer his condolences. And we heard what Caroline Champier said in attempting to spin this as just, you know, symptomatic of the fact that Jackie Walorski was on top of mine. She was right there at the pinnacle, but if she'd have gone up maybe 3 inches more, she would have not only been on top of mine, but it would have been the realization that she was no longer with us. And that was the kind of mistake that, that he did. But, you know, for us, for me anyway, and a lot of other people, it's just the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. And that's his constantly degrading cognitive abilities. I've been going on about it for months, okay? I mean, and it just, it's obvious. You got a former Surgeon General in Ronnie Jackson who was Surgeon General to Republican and Democrat alike. Says the guy's, you know, he's not there. He's not all there anymore. And even when he was all there, if you know anything about Joe Biden, you know that he wasn't all together wound out that tight. But nobody, in spite of all this stuff that we've seen over and over again, the dumb things that he says, the disastrous policy decisions that have been made in his name, nobody talks about the 25th Amendment. Nobody. Now, in the Constitution, 25th Amendment has that the vice president and the cabinet can submit a written statement to the leaders of Congress that the president is unable to discharge his duties. When Donald Trump was in president, the media talked constantly about the 25th Amendment. There were reports that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein tried to invoke the 25th Amendment and replace Donald Trump with Vice President Mike Pence. Now, however, the media is silent. There are three reasons. The first may be that Biden's gaffes are nothing new, okay? He's done all this stuff. We've seen it for years now. And so they'll offer up, oh, that's just Joe being Joe. The second reason that they don't talk about it too much is probably because Vice President Kamala Harris isn't really something that offers much of an improvement. She was in last week, I guess, or whenever it was, a visit to, she was in Asia. She did something in Japan that was pretty bad, but Korea. And she was there at the demilitarized zone, and she talked about the strong alliance between the United States and the Republic of North Korea. But primarily, and the most important reason that we don't hear anything about the 25th Amendment being bandied about is nothing more than political partisanship. It's the media and the Democratic Party and important parts of the executive branch itself, they all wanted Trump removed from power. So, excuse me, any pretext, any reason, a mean tweet, a slow walk down the ramp, these became excuses to demand that the cabinet get rid of Trump. And it might have happened, though. The problem was that the same Mike Pence who would later decline to reject the Electoral College vote wasn't going to go along with a constitutional coup. I really don't think, and I guess I figured he was going to be gone a year ago. My call was he wouldn't have been able to withstand the rigors of the presidency by the end of last summer, let alone this summer, and he would have been long gone. As it stands now, you know, we may be looking at two more years of this. And the best hope that we have is in this midterm election to take both houses with enough nationalist conservatives, not rhinos, that we can, you know, we can just use the power of the purse. We can withhold funding. We can stymie, you know, these nutbag things. And then we can issue legislation You've heard all the ads. November is coming, bomb, 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 and they beat on the timpani drums, and it sounds all ominous. And that's great. I'm glad November's coming because Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. And that's going to be great. I get to spend time with family. And then right after that, hey, Christmas is right around the corner. We've got Rudolph. We've got specials. It's going to be great. But really, that's all we have to hope for, because if we vote for the same people or the same kind of people that we already have an abundance of in there now on the Republican side, what are we really doing? Yeah, we're not doing anything. And it comes back to what? An informed and disseminating electorate. In something as weedy and foggy and smoky and convoluted as politics, particularly American national politics, if you don't do any research, you're not really casting an effective vote. I'm sorry. And most people, they're starting to pay attention now. They pay attention about a month out from the midterms, about 3 months out from the national elections. But it takes so much more than that. During the Cold War, Barry Goldwater said the price of peace is constant vigilance. And he was right on many more levels than he knew, because we can take that one statement and we can apply it to a whole lot of things. The price of peace within this nation, the price of economic prosperity, the price of the preservation of our ordered liberties, inherently granted to us by God and described in the Constitution. They absolutely depend on the citizen being aware. Okay, that's the constant vigilance. To reap all those benefits that were guaranteed us, granted inherently by God, guaranteed and helped to be protected by our Constitution, required that we know our freedoms. We know those ordered liberties. Because if we don't know them and how to protect them, we'll never keep them. And informed and disseminating electorate. Where are we at? We're running a little bit over. And since Mark's not going to be on, I'm probably going to go into extra innings. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Take a little musical break here. We will be back with more of a conservative perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio. We'll be back right after this.
This is the city. Los Angeles, California. Some people rob for pleasure. Some rob because it's there. You never know. My name's Friday. I'm a cop. I was working the day watch out of robbery when I got a call from the Acme School Bell Company. There'd been a robbery.
There's been a robbery.
Yes, sir. What was it?
My clappers.
Your clappers?
Yeah, you know those things inside a bell that makes them clang?
The clangers.
That's right. We call them clappers in the business.
A clapper caper.
What's that?
Nothing, sir. Now, can I have the facts? What kind of clappers were stolen on this caper?
They were copper clappers.
And where were they kept?
In the closet.
Uh-huh. You have any ideas who might have taken the copper clappers from the closet?
Well, just one. I fired a man. He swore he'd get even.
What was his name?
Claude Cooper.
You think
that,
he...
That's right. I think Claude Cooper copped my copper clappers. Kept in the closet.
You know where this Claude Cooper is from?
Yeah. Cleveland.
That figures. That figures.
What makes it worse, they were clean.
Clean copper clappers.
That's right.
Why do you think Cleveland's Claude Cooper would cop your clean copper clappers kept in your closet?
Only one reason.
What's that?
He's a kleptomaniac.
Who first discovered the copper clappers were copped?
My cleaning woman. Clara Clifford.
That figures. Now let me see if I got the facts straight here. Cleaning woman Clara Clifford discovered your clean copper clappers kept in a closet were copped by Claude Cooper, the kleptomaniac from Cleveland. Now is that about it?
One other thing.
What's that?
If I ever catch kleptomaniac Claude Cooper from Cleveland who copped my clean copper clappers from kept in the closet.
Yes?
I'll clobber him.
The clean copper clappers kept in the closet, copped by Claude Clifford from Cleveland, the kleptomaniac. I always avoid alliteration at all attempts. Okay, James Bostic back here. We were waiting. I got an inbox here from Guapo. Said, look for me around 7:35, 7:40. And we haven't seen anything from him yet. We were hoping that Mark Hoffman would be able to call in from down in Florida and give us a boots on the ground report on what was happening in terms of the devastation and how bad or how wide it was in his area, along with what was going on in the rest of the state. He was live on Facebook last night, and I made a couple of attempts to try to get up with him, and it didn't work. And I think the failings were on my side. And next time something like this happens, God forbid, and we've got, you know, you guys can have Jim Cantore. Forget it. We got El Guapo. Yeah, man. So who needs Cantore? We got Guap. So trying to think of what else is going on to talk about. Hugh, there is a lot of devastation. I was just looking on Breitbart, and it's pretty bad down in Florida. What happened was pretty serious in a lot of areas, and now it looks like it's moving towards it's all this devastation left in its wake. It's moving towards South Carolina, and I'm not exactly sure whether it's made landfall there or not yet. But we can go, you know, we can go to AccuWeather. They'll tell us what's going on, man. Those guys are some pretty sharp cats. In the school business, about this time of year, maybe closer to November, school people start getting sensitive to the weather. They do. They do. And I used to tell kids, hey, you guys just think you pray for a snow day. Okay. All right. By November, most teachers have turned into little Willard Scotts, and they have their own special domains and places that they like to go to check out the weather. And I'm looking here at the radar on AccuWeather. It's moving up the coast of Georgia. It's off the coast of Georgia now, and it's making it's going to make landfall, I guess, next, coming through South Carolina, then, well, through the Carolinas, and I guess then into the Virginias, and that's where I'm at. So our prayers to all those people in Florida. Well, come on, Mark. What's going on, man? And then, you know, he may be having trouble getting cell service or any kind of service at all. It was looking pretty fierce when he was out last night. There was a lot of rain, a lot of high wind when he was doing his report last night from where he lives. So hopefully we'll hear from him, and I'm just going to be watching the switchboard. And as soon as he calls in, we're going to put him on the air. Sabotage. Yeah, Nord Stream 1 and 2. Sabotage. And all the evidence points to us. Well, if we didn't actually do it, we probably played a major hand in orchestrating it. I'm not exactly sure why that would happen. I'm not exactly sure what the point would be. And I think it was last night, maybe. Tucker Carlson had some thoughts on this, and we're gonna check that out. I'm not exactly sure what this means if the United States is responsible for it. And it's entirely possible. Okay, it's entirely possible that we are responsible for this. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out the reasoning behind it. And listening to Tucker Carlson, I haven't made any more headway. This is very, very serious what's happened here. And the thing that we got to watch, again, is the media. And 9 times out of 10, if it's a story that in center-right publications or informational circles is making some headway, the odds are it's probably going to be downplayed pretty seriously by the establishment people. But anyway, here's where is it? Come on, man. All right. Tucker Carlson, his take on the Nord Stream pipeline incidents.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. You hate to start a Tuesday evening on a grim note, but one of the environmental catastrophes, one of the great environmental catastrophes of our time, is unfolding tonight off the coast of Denmark. The Nord Stream pipelines, which are enormous Russian-owned conduits that carry natural gas from Russia to Western Europe, have been breached. As we speak, Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 are pouring millions of cubic meters of natural gas into the Baltic Sea. Pictures from the air, which you can now see on your screen, show a toxic bubble field more than half a mile wide. You can only guess at how many marine mammals are being killed right now. Countless. But the lasting damage may be to the atmosphere. Natural gas is comprised of up to 90% methane. Methane, as Joe Biden has often told you, is the key driver of global warming, which is, of course, an existential threat to humanity and the planet. So if you're worried about climate change, what just happened to the Nord Stream pipelines is as close to the apocalypse as we have ever come. So the question is, how did this happen? And it turns out it was not an accident. At the very same time that leaks in these pipelines were detected, Swedish officials recorded two powerful undersea explosions, each one of which was equivalent to hundreds of pounds of TNT. Nothing in nature can account for that. Almost immediately, the pipelines began leaking in three separate places. So there's only one explanation for what happened. This was an act of industrial terrorism. That was very obvious to the Prime Minister of Poland, and he wasted no time in saying so. Watch.
Today, we are also dealing with an act of sabotage. We do not know the details of what happened yet, but we can clearly see that it is an act of sabotage. an act that probably marks the next stage in the escalation of the situation we are dealing with in Ukraine.
We can clearly see, he said, this was an act of sabotage, an act of terrorism. Well, yes, we can see that. So the question is, who did it? And of course, the prime suspect is obvious. It would be the same man who caused domestic inflation here in the U.S. and stole the 2016 election from Hillary Clinton. That'd be Vladimir V. Putin. The Washington Post got right to it. Putin, they declared, is now weaponizing the Nord Stream pipelines. According to the Canadian ambassador to the UN, Vladimir Putin has decided to use, quote, pollution as an act of war. Progressive Twitter strongly endorsed this conclusion. Putin did it. And that makes sense until you thought about it for just a moment. Vladimir Putin may be evil. They tell us that he is evil. But is he stupid? Probably isn't stupid. And yet, and here's the strange part, if you are Vladimir Putin, you would have to be a suicidal moron to blow up your own energy pipelines. That's the one thing you would never do. Natural gas pipelines are the main source of your power and your wealth, and most critically, your leverage over other countries. Europe needs your energy, now more than ever, with winter approaching. If you can't deliver that energy, then countries like Germany have no need to pay attention to what you want. You're in the middle of a war, an all-hands-on-deck war, so you need all the leverage you can get. Under these circumstances, there is no chance you would blow up Nord Stream 1 or 2. Not now, obviously. In fact, it's so obvious that even our famously dim Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, seemed to acknowledge it. Sabotaging Nord Stream, he said today, is, quote, clearly in no one's interest. Right, but really only half right. It is true that blowing up Nord Stream does not help Vladimir Putin. He would not do that. Why would he? But that doesn't mean that other countries wouldn't consider doing it. They would consider it, and we know they have considered it because at least one of them has said so in public. In early February, less than 3 weeks before the war in Ukraine began, Joe Biden suggested on camera that he might take out these pipelines. Watch.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again. Then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
Notice how he phrased that. And he's the president. Doesn't phrase things by accident, particularly when he's reading off cards. He didn't say, I will pause the delivery of gas from Russia to Germany. He said, there won't be a Nord Stream 2. We'll put an end to it. We'll take it out. We'll blow it up. How will you do this? He was asked. I promise you we will be able to do it. They thought this through. And yet those watching, very much including us, didn't take Biden seriously when he said it. This is the president who has declared climate change the most pressing emergency in the history of the world. This is the man who lectures you about using a wood stove or driving an SUV because of its emissions. This is the guy who spent billions trying to mitigate cow flatulence because methane. Would that guy really blow up a methane pipeline in the middle of the Baltic Sea? It was hard to imagine. That would be an unimaginably reckless act. That would be the kind of thing you would do if you wanted to start a nuclear war. It would be insane. And yet, in retrospect, it's obvious they were thinking about this because Joe Biden wasn't the only person to suggest it. Toria Nuland at the State Department said pretty much the very same thing. Nuland is a lifelong war cheerleader. She worked to bring about the Iraq invasion, never apologized, kept going. She helped engineer the coup that overthrew the Ukrainian government some years back. So capable, clearly she's capable of anything. But environmental terrorism, even for Toria Nuland, that seemed too much, too extreme. And yet here she is in January.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies. And I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
One way or the other, we'll stop Nord Stream. Now, looking back, those words seem chilling 8 months later as natural gas pours into the Baltic Sea and is in the atmosphere. So you have to ask, could the Biden administration really do something like this? We can't say for sure. We don't know for sure. We can tell you that close allies of the Biden White House believe they certainly did do it. Radek Sikorski is a Polish politician. He's chairman of the EU-USA delegation in the European Parliament. He's connected. He's also the husband of regime stenographer Ann Applebaum of The Atlantic magazine. Sikorski is so close to Joe Biden that he's got a picture of the two of them together in his Twitter profile. So when the pipelines blew up, Sikorski responded immediately, and here's what he wrote. Thank you, USA. So once again, did the Biden administration really do this? It's hard to believe. Given that it's an atrocity, it's effectively an act of terrorism, we don't want to make that accusation. But we should tell you that, maybe not coincidentally, today a brand new pipeline was unveiled, a pipeline that carries non-Russian natural gas in roughly the same area as Nord Streams 1 and 2. This is called the Baltic Pipe. It was inaugurated in Poland. It will carry natural gas from Norway through Denmark to Poland and other countries nearby. And it's likely to do very well since now it has less competition. Making sense? What does the White House say about this? How are they accounting for what happened today? Well, they're not exactly enthusiastically denying responsibility for it. Instead, they're looking at the upside. Here's the president's publicist noting that the destruction of yet another energy pipeline is yet another opportunity for you to buy an electric car.
As you all know, these pipelines weren't pumping gas into Europe at this time. NS2 was never operational, as you guys know. NS1 has not been operational for weeks because Putin has weaponized energy, and we have said this many times before. This just drives home the importance of our efforts to work together to get alternative gas supplies to Europe and to support efforts to reduce gas consumption and accelerate true energy independence by moving to clean energy economy.
Oh, moving to clean energy. Say the people who very may well be responsible for letting methane into the Baltic Sea and into the atmosphere at a scale that most people can't imagine. The people lecturing you about your SUV may have blown up a natural gas pipeline and created one of the great catastrophes of our time and its effect on the environment. If they did this, this will be one of the craziest, most destructive things any American administration has ever done. But it would also be totally consistent with what they do. What do? They destroy. These people build nothing, not one thing. Instead, they tear down and they desecrate, from historic statues to the Constitution to energy infrastructure. And no one in Congress is trying to stop any of it. They're just preparing for the inevitable fallout. Tonight, the Senate just advanced a spending bill with $35 million for the Department of Energy to, quote, prepare for and respond to potential nuclear and radiological incidents in Ukraine. What? The spending bill also brings the total U.S. expenditure on Ukraine, the war, but also funding its government and energy for Ukraine, to $67 billion on the eve of what could be a massive economic disruption here to our economy. $67 billion. How much is that? Well, it's more than Russia's entire military budget last year. And Congress is expected to fully pass the bill later this week with Republicans nodding along like the zombies they are. What will be the effect of this? Every action has a reaction, equal and opposite. Blow up the Nord Stream pipelines? Okay, we've entered a new phase, one in which the United States is directly at war with the largest nuclear power in the world. Doesn't mean it'll go nuclear immediately, but it does suggest there could be consequences. If we actually blew up the Nord Stream pipelines, why wouldn't Russia sever undersea internet cables? What would happen if they did that? What would happen if banks in London couldn't communicate with banks in New York? Just that one piece of it, leaving aside its potential effects on our power grid. But let's just say the banks couldn't communicate with each other for one day. What would the economic effect of that be? Oh, we would cascade downward into your house. We could have an actual collapse. We could wind up very quickly in third world conditions. Those are the stakes. Have the people behind this, the geniuses like Tory and Nuland, considered the effects? Maybe they have. Maybe that was the point.
Did we do it? I don't know. and what's going to and if it, it and whether we did it or not, what if the decision is made to assign that blame to us regardless? And it's a safe bet, like Tucker was talking about, whatever's done isn't going to affect just the United States. It will affect the United States and its allies. Joe Biden's trying to figure out how he's going to solve all the division in the United States. He's going to start World War III. That'll get us all behind you. Jesus wept, I swear. And again, guys, and did you hear what he said? Republicans and Democrats alike, bipartisan, are sending billions upon billions of our money. Not the government's money, our money. To these fractious twits in Ukraine. To combat the other fractious twits from Russia. Oh, gee, man. I swear, it just... And again, this is why we talk about the informed and disseminating electorate. Republicans voted on this thing too, okay? And I would say they were Republicans that hated Joe Biden. Probably hated Trump too, but they, you know, and they told us that they were going to bring a stop to all this Biden insanity. And they probably made a lot of statements to that, but they decided they're going to go ahead and vote to send billions and billions more of our money over there. And I just can't help but wonder how much of that money is going to come back and into whose pockets it's going to nestle.
We are a nation in decline. We are a failing nation. We are a nation that has the highest inflation in over 40 years, where the stock market just finished the worst first half of a year in more than five decades. We are a nation that has the highest energy costs in its history, and we are no longer energy independent or energy dominant, which we were just two short years ago. We are a nation that is begging Venezuela and Saudi Arabia for oil. We are a nation that surrendered in Afghanistan, leaving behind dead soldiers, American citizens, and $85 billion worth of the finest military equipment in the world. We are a nation that allowed Russia to devastate a country, Ukraine, killing hundreds of thousands of people, and it will only get worse. We are a nation that has weaponized its law enforcement against the opposing political party like never before. We've never seen anything like this. We are a nation that no longer has a free and fair press. Fake news is about all you get. We are a nation where free speech is no longer allowed, where crime is rampant like never before, where the economy has been collapsing, where more people died of COVID in 2021 than in 2020. We are a nation that is allowing Iran to build a massive nuclear weapon and China to use the trillions and trillions of dollars it's taken from the United States to build a military to rival our own. We are a nation that over the past 2 years is no longer respected or listened to all around the world. And we are a nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hard-working patriots like you who built this country, and it is hard-working patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot meet. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield ever, ever, ever. We will never give in, we will never give up, and we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down, as long as we are confident and united. The tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness for our country again.
Where does it come from? That greatness. How do we, as a citizenry, how do we, as a populace, attain this greatness with the kind of leadership? And I'm not talking about just on a national level, but on a state level as well. We've got a lot of people who hate this country and our way of life deeply embedded within the bureaucracy of, you know, the machinery of this country. How do we combat that? And to what extremes do or should we go in order to combat it? Well, the price of peace is constant vigilance. And there are some remarkably vigilant people out there. And they have done a great job of identifying those who stand against us, Americans, and the American way of life. I don't care how cliched or how stereotyped you may think that sounds. The American way of life is for everyone. It's not just for white people or white guys or old rich white guys. It's for everyone. Americans. Why? Because it says so in the name. It's the American way of life. And if you're an American, there are certain standards, there are certain ideals we have about the way we conduct our business, the way we conduct our personal and public affairs. And it's unique from every other nation in on the planet. These people have worked so hard to vilify and to marginalize and what's another word I'm looking for? Corrupt. And blatantly misrepresent the idea of American exceptionalism. In this world, freedom, real freedom, true freedom, and the ordered liberties bequeathed to us by the founders in our Constitution are rare. They are exceptional and rare. Thus, America itself is exceptional and rare. What other country on the face of this planet has ever had the scope of freedoms and liberties for the individual that America has had, because we don't have them so much these days, and we're going to have a hard fight getting them back. But we've had them, and we've had that taste, and it's still fresh in our mouths, and we need to regain it. Guys, they're not tunneling under the Great Wall of China to get in. They are not swimming from Key West to Havana to get into Cuba. You understand? The Berlin Wall wasn't built to keep us out. It was built to keep those people in. An informed and disseminating electorate. And I think that's about all I'm good for this evening. This is the first time I've been live on radio, you know, like I said, a couple of weeks since my mom's illness and passing. And it's nice to be back, and I'm not going to push it. But we will be back on Monday, and we'll be doing the full 2 hours unless I decide to do 90 minutes, and then, you know, how that goes. But anyway, we're going to be back Mondays, and that's the new schedule. Mondays, 7 to 9, tentatively. On Patriot Nation, and what you do is you go to blogtalkradio.com and you type in Patriot Nation Radio. Boom, there we are, and we got some top-notch programming. We have I was hoping to hear from Mark, but we didn't, and I hope everything's all right. Maybe you can give us another quick inbox, dude, just to let us know you're okay if you're listening. What was I talking about? Something about radio. Liberty Lighthouse with Pete Serafin on Friday nights. The American Allegiance program. I get that confused with United Patriots Uprising. The American Allegiance program with our pal Kevin White, Wednesdays. A steely-eyed radio man in his own right. Outstanding guests, top quality programming all the way with everything that you've got here on Patriot Nation Radio. I also have a recorded version of the program that's on the Mojo 50 radio network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. I want to thank you guys for being here with us this evening. Haven't heard anything from Mark yet. Looking through the inboxes. He said he was going to join us at around 15 till, but never saw anything from him, and the last thing we had was look for me around 7:35, 7:40, and haven't heard from him. So, Mark, if you're out there, our prayers that you are safe and just having problems making contact, and there's nothing more serious than that. That's all the time we've got, folks. Thank you so much for the opportunity to hang out and talk with you about some of the stuff that's been going on, and it was very good to get back in the saddle, so to speak, and spend a little time with you. We'll be back on Monday. That's the new night, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m., taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America, and we'll see you then.